Good evening. I'd like to call to order to the meeting for November 4th, 2019, Berkshire County Board of Commissioners. And we're going to have the Pledge of Allegiance and invocation by Mr. Wesson.
Great. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Eternal God, Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings. Lord God, we know that without you in our lives, where would we be? Father, you've done so much for this county and the citizens of this county, and you've kept us safe all through this year and all through this tough weather season. Father, we want to say thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come together as one board and to look after the concerns of the citizens of this great county. Father, we ask that you give us good judgment, that you give us a listening ear, and that we do things that would be pleasing in your sight as well as the citizens of this county. Thank you again for all of your blessings. Forgive us for our sins and keep us as only you can do. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Wesson. I'd like to start all the meetings off with a three-minute comment section. Three-minute public comments. We have any public comments? Okay, if we don't have any public comments, we'd like to go back and oath of office for our interim county manager, the Honorable Cy Grant is here, Superior Court Judge, and Mr. Vaughn will be sworn in tonight as our interim county manager for Berkshire County. Sir?
Well,
it may have. He's got one.
Put your left elbow out. Raise your right. Repeat after me.
Get the press in position.
I, Juan Vaughn II,
do solemnly and sincerely swear,
do solemnly and sincerely swear,
that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance,
that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance,
to the state of North Carolina,
to the state of North Carolina,
and to the constitutional powers and authorities,
and to the constitutional powers and authorities,
that are or may be established for the government thereof,
that are or may be established with the government thereof,
and that I will endeavor to support,
and that I will endeavor to support,
maintain,
and defend,
the Constitution of said state,
the Constitution of said state,
not inconsistent with, the Constitution of the United States,
the Constitution of the United States,
to the best of my knowledge, skill and ability,
so help me God, I, Juan Vaughn II,
do swear,
that I will well,
and truly, execute the duties of the interim county manager,
according to the best of my skill,
and ability,
according to the law,
so help me God. Congratulations.
Thank you. Tomorrow.
Judge Grant, thank you very much. You have done probably about 50 of these now, you are that pick of choice. So we do thank you, sir, for your participation with us, okay? Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Judge. Mr. Vaughn, would you like to say anything to everybody?
Yes, I would. Good evening to everybody. Thank you all for being here. I want to thank the public and thank the county commissioners for giving me the opportunity to serve in this capacity. I want to thank my family for being here. I thank the department heads and the citizens in advance for your support, and I look forward to serving the citizens of Berkshire County.
Thank you very much. Okay, moving on with the agenda. Library and Cooperative Extension Construction Project Update by MHA Works Project Architects. Are they here?
Good evening, all. Thank you for having us today. My name is Danny Hoff, and this is Amber Idle. We're with MHA Works out of Greenville. We're the architects for the Burton County Cooperative Extension Library Project. I act as the project designer and project manager during design phase, and Amber Idle has acted as the project manager during the construction phase of the project. Holly McLaughlin is our partner in charge and the signing architect for the project. As an update, I'll let Amber kind of speak to that since she's been leading that effort.
Sure. So I'm not sure who's all been by the site, but they broke ground in August. they've cleared the entire site now. Yeah. They've started on site work. They poured all the footings. They're prepping for the slab, so they'll do that in separate pours. We'll have steel on site next month, so that'll be, you will be able to see it from the road, and it'll be the first step to the inside of the building. And then also, so Scott and Juan and I discussed we have a drone that we fly over every monthly meeting by our civil consultant. And Scott asked me to discuss with him if we could put that on your website somehow. So we're going to work that out, and we'll get you the link so that everyone can kind of see an aerial update of the project.
Okay. When you come to that, get with Mr. Vaughn. He is our county manager, interim county manager, and he'll be able to instruct you on what to do from there. Okay.
No problem.
The next item that we have for today is change order request one. So I think that should have been included on your packets. Do you all have a copy of all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Right.
It's drafted on the AIA form. Tonight it's still going to be in a draft form. We're going to wait for y'all to vote on it to yay or nay, and then we'll get the final copy in Juan's hand to sign, and the architect, the contractor, and Juan will sign, and then it'll be approved officially. So first I'm going to just go through it so you all know what's included in that. If you look at the contract, is changed as follows, which is this little section right here. PCO number 2, which was related to RFP number 3,
mm-hmm.
Installed plumbing is shown on P11 for ASI 001. So all that was, we had two sinks in the community room that were VE'd out of the project when it was bid. And we had discussed with the contractor if we could still get the plumbing to that area, so if you decided to put a sink in the future, you would have it the infrastructure ready to go.
Okay.
So that's all it was, and ARCHESN came back with a zero add for that, so they're doing that at no cost. We have to formally include it in a change order, so that way it's formally included in the contract. PCO number 3R was related to RFP 002. This is the mezzanine alternate incorporated into the project, so this is the one that I'm pretty sure Scott and Juan went back with you all. I think it was last month.
We did. We went over that, and that's going to the air handlers and things of that, and HVAC systems on the outside.
That's right. So that alternate, or that add, is $31,898.
Mm-hmm.
That is based on the bid value for the alternate that ARCHESN provided on bid day. And then since it is a change order, they are entitled to add 5% to that due to kind of working it back into their schedule and reallocating her resources originally as they hadn't originally claimed to. So that 5%, so the original bid value was $30,379. That was included on their bid tab. And then the 5% was $1,519. So that comes to the total of $31,898. That's how we came to that value. They also added 22 days to the project schedule with that change order. That was caused by, similar to the 5% add, is at this point in the project, we had to shuffle things around a little bit to make sure that all their steel shop drawings and engineering kind of had to get work back into that process. So that's where that all came from. If you are wondering what happened to PCO 001, we started at 2. PCO 001 was for a steel beam that they requested cost for, but it was already in the drawing, so that is...
That's something they missed.
Well, it was kind of on both of us, but it's not going to come to you guys, so it's...
That's fine.
It's part of the contract, so
yep.
We don't have to worry about that. So that concludes the change order review. Do you have any questions or concerns or anything that I can address?
I don't. No.
I should tell you also that the original completion date was 9/28/2020, And with the 22 days added, the completion date will now be 10/20/2020. So, there is no additional overhead on the designer side or the contractor side for that. So it's just straight up cost of work that they're charging for. And then Amber has one more thing she wants to talk about.
I just wanted to mention, based on the steel being on site, the first, second week of December, that's what we're estimating. We had discussed with Juan and Scott doing a blessing type ceremony when the first piece of steel comes on. So as soon as we know that date, we'll get with everyone and set that up, whatever event you guys want to have.
It'll be coming up probably before Christmas.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, wonderful. Great, fantastic.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions about the project in general that we can address?
Everything I've seen has been fantastic. Y'all moving right along. It's exciting.
It's exciting. It is. Once we set steel on site, it's going to look
like, yes. Exactly. Really building. It's going to look boom.
Yes. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Mr. Manager, we need a motion on these.
Yes, we do.
Okay, can I have a motion, please?
Yeah, I'd like to make the motion to accept the change order, RFP number 2 and RFP number 3, for a total dollar amount $31,898.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Wilson. Thank you. All right, live emergency services update. Mr. Cooper? Getting high tech, aren't we?
Moving on up.
Yeah.
Getting high tech.
Looks good in here. All right. As you said, thank you all for having me this evening. I'm going to do an update for emergency medical service and non-emergency transport, Division of Emergency Services for Berkeley County. As I said on the agenda, this is year number 7, I think, for emergency services, and right over. Number 5 for non-emergency transport. This report has a lot of information in it. It shows some new technology we're using, some new equipment we're using. It talks about some ups and downs we're having. As far as, you know, we've all got staffing shortages, and that's a nationwide problem. We're going to talk about that and talk about some ideas we have to help combat that without reducing any response to our citizens. So bear with me, ask questions, and only about 28 slides. I try to keep it to a minimum. All right, new equipment we're using in Berkeley County. This is what we call a DFIT Tech Life Arm. This assists our employees doing chest compressions during a CPR call. We have had 2 saves with this last week alone. It is tremendously helping our crews with their fatigue. It ensures quality chest compressions for up to an hour and a half with the battery. We can do some pretty amazing work with this. It is big enough to fit around my chest. Anything other than that, we have to do manually. And we're working with the local fire departments right now to start doing first response for that to help our crews. But we have seen some true benefits out of this piece of equipment helping our employees and being successful in their calls.
There's one on every truck.
There's one in Coleraine, one in Olander, and there's one on a QRV in Windsor. We were approved by 4, so we're working on buying our 4th one. Luckily, when we bought 2, we had one kind of donated to us from a business that was being bought out. So we have not gone back to the drawing board to see if we're going to buy a 5th one yet, because the money's there. But we were very fortunate to do that, and it's something we were going to talk with William about, was, you know, what we thought was going to be best and look at our system design.
How much does that piece of equipment cost?
So, the quote on it today to do it was $7,800.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you this. We bought DFIT Tech, and there's a couple counties in the state that are using it, and they're rural counties. And we talked to them directly because we could have bought another machine that was $18,000 a piece, and that was really not within our budget. but these other counties have been using it a year and a half, 2 years before us, and have had really good success. They're holding up well, they're getting part, you know, they're working. So we didn't have a fear by going with this other machine to say that it was going to fail. It's a pretty stout machine, and it does a really good job. I was really impressed with it when they came out here and showed it to us. Other new technology that we're going to now, this year we were approved to buy 4 power loads stretchers. This is a picture, really doesn't do it justice. If you got time to play on YouTube, you should look it up, Striker Power Load. That is a self-loading stretcher. One of our biggest injuries in EMS is back injury from lifting patients. And like myself sitting up here, there are not a lot of small people in Berkeley County. So we have to be able to get them in the back of the truck carefully. One workman's comp will pay for this piece of equipment, but all the employee has to do is pull them out and push them in just like the filing cabinet. That's pretty much what it looks like in the track in there. This is the new style track, locks in the front and the rear. The old style was the antlers in the front and one lock in the rear. So safer for the patient, safer for the EMS staff, and hopefully going to help us with workman's comp. So it's going to pay for itself. This is a pricey piece of equipment. The stretcher alone is $20,000 and the locker that goes in the truck is $40,000. But that got a sticker shock to a lot of people, but it's mandatory you have the new locking system, which is $20,000 now on a new build ambulance. The stretcher without the hydraulics was $12,000, so it was $8,000 additional dollars to have the hydraulics. Those are the lifespan of 10 years. It was a feasible purchase. And now we're going to go into our operation, the non-emergency transport. This division was started to offset the emergency medical service costs. A lot of people don't know, but our 911 system, our average return on a call is only 50%. Most counties see between 70 and 75%. When we started this system, we were number one poorest in the state. Now we're number 5. And as y'all said at the last meeting, we're shooting for number 8. So keep moving up the chain. Typically, our non-emergency transports, we operate between 3 to 5 ambulances a day, depending on call volumes. And our staff on that side, they work shift in typically a 10-hour day, 6 days a week. These are all scheduled calls. As you can see here, in 2015, when we started, we run 460 calls that year. In 2018, we run over 4,000, and this year we did just under 4,000, which is our mark. We want to be just plus or minus 4,000 at 3,986 calls. Our crews are doing an outstanding job. We got a thank you letter from the family last week of what they do as far as just providing non-emergency care. That's not even what we do as an emergency operation. So we've really got some good, a great bedside manner. Our citizens are really taking to what we're doing. And what our goal is to make people better in the county. With every venture, there's challenges. In our non-emergency transport, we have employee shortages, just like we talked about earlier. That's a nationwide thing. Right now on this side, I think there's 3 to 4 shortages, positions open. On our EMS side, it's 4. That's 8 total across the department, which has spurred a lot of the conversation for this update. Revenue collections. Before we got into non-emergency transport, it used to be pretty simple. Your doctor said you needed a ride on a stretcher in the back of an ambulance. He signed it. We got paid for it. It's not that simple anymore. Medicare has got requirements now for data collection. If you ride repetitive more than 3 times in a month, we've got to have 6 months of medical records to prove why you need it. The doctor just can't sign it anymore. If the doctor doesn't write in those medical records why you're non-ambulatory, it doesn't get paid. Our 2 captains, Krista Corden and Beth, they chase paperwork like it's going out of style. I mean, that's what it takes. It has really put a undue stress on them for others that won't play it fairly in this type of business. But it's a lot of work, and they're doing an outstanding job to keep that park going. That was a huge learning curve for a lot. I think a lot of the companies in Bertie County can tell you that this is a huge challenge on their organization.
Mitch, are those requirements basically state requirements, federal requirements?
They're federal. It's all federal. Medicare.
So ultimately, they will probably affect our bottom number.
Right now, we're on target. Let me tell you something about Christy and Beth. If I come in the door and ask them where our paperwork is, they're going to sit in the doctor's office at the front window until somebody gives them They understand what it takes, and our billing company works with them on that. They've had a lot of meetings with doctors. I put Medicare up there because Medicare kind of gets under my skin some days. They're going to change a rule, and it's a rule in their 1,000-page document. They don't tell you about it all the time, and they say it was your rule, and they don't tell the doctors about all the changes either. And sometimes I won't say it hinders our relationship, but it makes it a little tricky navigating those waters some days when we say this is the law and they're used to operating one way and then we changed it. And then so everything on non-emergency transport is on course. We're really happy with what we're doing. We're working with some other counties right now looking at some franchises to expand. So hopefully by first of the year we'll have news on that. Then we go into our emergency medical service. It's been operating since December 9th, 2013. Currently, Bertie County operates 4 advanced life support ambulances at the paramedic level. There's 2 located in Windsor, 1 located in Allander, and 1 located in Coleraine. This is about a system design that we put together for the county. This is a map of how they're laid out. One thing we always like to talk about is our times in EMS. Times are critical. Our shoot times. Shoot time means that from the time that our radio goes off, our wheels are rolling, and we have it in our system plan that we do 90 seconds or less. In 5 years, you'll see it there at 1.36 minutes. We're just a hair over that minute and a half. But we had a major event. 2016, we had Hurricane Matthew. What happened? We got put in the 3 different locations that were not designed to hold ambulances, but we still held right there at that margin, just above that 90 seconds. Our response times. Bertie County requires us to be on scene within 20 minutes. We're doing it in 9.72 minutes over a 5-year average. That's pretty good for a rural area.
A big rural area.
Yeah.
And they call us a wilderness zone, and that's the reason we're in 20 minutes.
Yeah, we're actually considered to be wilderness by OEMS.
Right.
All right. Our call volume. It looks like a drastic change, but it's really not. 2015 was 3,700 calls. In 2018, you did just over 4,000 responses. And for fiscal year 2019, we did right at 3,900 responses. This includes fire calls, this includes standbys for law enforcement, this includes running minor NVCs that nobody is going to the hospital. This is how many times our pager goes off that we have to do a response. New technology. Everything that I've showed you in this presentation was technology based on, we print it out, we take a pen, we figure out what our numbers are, and then we put it in this pretty slideshow. And spend a lot of time looking at it. Well, fortunately, we were able to update our charting system for patient care reports, and we've gone from what they call EMS charts to ESO. ESO is the Cadillac for PCRs. 2 reasons we went to this was to start doing this data-driven system, and also we're hoping that the hospital jumps on board with ESO, like 9 other counties in the state. We'll be able to hit a button from the computer and send your information to there and get out of the paper business. Papers, you got to keep up with it, you've got to do HIPAA compliance, and now we can fill it in and send it right to the hospital. It's in their computer system. We can actually pull your stuff in our system to make it better for us for billing purposes to be tracking.
What kind of backup technology does it have?
Do what?
What kind of backup technology is built?
So what this is just like anything nowadays, it's on a cloud. It's, you know, all over the country they have server farms, and it's not hosted here in Murphy County. Our billing company uses the same software.
So that's great.
Yeah.
As far as firewalls, everything matches up. Yep. Are people handling all that?
Yep.
Okay.
They handle all that. We're working on some things with our tablets now. A heart monitor. We come in, we read your heart, we do your blood pressure, we check you all out, and it's going to port it right into the software. It's going to take some work off of our paramedics. A lot of people are always, you know, what do they do in the back of the truck? Well, a lot of, you know, we're not just taking care of patients. You know, you go to the hospital at night, you can go in there and see a nurse and a doctor, and somebody can walk from the front and get all your information. But we've got to put our hands on you, fix all the problems we can, plus do all the paperwork, trying to do it in a timely manner so the hospital has it. So there's a lot of stress on the back of somebody in the back of his truck. So as much convenient technology as we can use that's affordable to the county, we want to supply it to them because it's making their job easier. So, shoot times, once again, fiscal year 2019, now we're at one minute, 1 second. Instead of taking a week to get the data from, you know, the sheriff's office sending me the information to be printed out and going through it with a pen and paper, this took me about a minute and a half for it to calculate it and print it off for me. And you see 31% of our responses shoot times under 45 seconds. So that they're strong numbers. And that's not from the time you hear us on the radio we're in route. We require our folks, the wheels have to be rolling on the ambulance before you tell anybody you're in route. The worst thing you want to do is go tell somebody you're in route and then the truck not crank or have a failure and then we not be able to explain it. Response times, 10 minutes and 24 seconds. 36% of those are under 8 minutes. Peak call times by day of the week. Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday are our busiest days of the week. Who would think Sunday would be our busiest day of the week?
Everybody at church under pressure.
Peak call times.
What did you say?
They're falling out of church.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're under pressure in church.
Peak call times by hour of the day. As you can see, at 6 a.m. we start taking a steep incline, and at 8 p.m. at night our call volume starts to drop down. That's typical for our type of area. But this is good information for us, and I'm going to show you why. EMS transport volume over 5 years. Last fiscal year, we transported to the hospital 796 less patients than 2018.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yep.
We're doing something right. I think we're doing something right. We've also had some changes in things we do in our protocols. And less people want to go to the hospital. So I think it's a mixture. We're an aging population. Mideast Commission. They do a lot of statistics on that. Cardiac arrest now. We work in the field. We don't take to the hospital unless we get a pulse back. Anything that ER can do, we can do.
People should know, Mitch, we have the oldest population in the region, the five-county region, and the fastest-growing age population.
The thing I think we're doing right is education and going to see their primary care physicians. We are treating people on scene so they can go do that. Lift assist, we get a call for a lot of lift assist. With the aging population and the minimal amount of home health we have, that has really drove up the call volume. And other reasons of calls we don't transport to the hospital for fire and law enforcement standbys.
Mitch, you might be able to talk about it, but where are we at in paramedicine? Because that could help also.
Yeah, we're a lot, there's a lot of legwork out done for that, and that's not in this presentation.
Okay. But we're moving toward that.
We're moving toward it. Okay. Our biggest thing is going to be how to finance that. as of this year, this is the first year Medicare has ever talked about making it where we can bill for it. And that was our big hold up because it was a pretty massive take on with no type of revenue stream to come in, and we've looked at grant options and we're still working to see when Medicare is going to start that flow, because, you know, while we want to do better, it was, I think it was $250,000 take on to add into our system for something that was going to have no reimbursement in. And that's a huge uptick in our budget.
But there's grant dollars out there also for that. Yeah.
Duke Endowment,
KB Rentals.
KB Rentals. A lot of your bigger public hospitals are in it. They like it. We've talked about it a few times. They're kind of up in the air about it. Because our goal is to reduce ER business. And that's our end goal. We want to reduce our response. We want to reduce the ER visits. We want to educate the public more on how to take care of ourselves. And I want to say the catastrophic emergencies is what we've been getting more available for. The emergencies we can handle without the lights and the siren, we can do that with a paramedicine and go see your doctor and do a better checkup. You know, it's $25 for me, my insurance, to go see a doctor, my doctor. My insurance right now is $300 to go to the ER, and it's $300 to see the doctor. By the time you get out of the ER, it's $600 just to be seen. And I think that's having an effect on it too. So calls not being transported, last year was 1,301, you know, 796 of them or less. Now, all this conversation tonight we've had about call volume, we don't get paid unless we take them to the hospital. So it's really going to show itself in this audit this year, and that's why we're not getting a lot of finance. Talked to Scott before we left, and Ms. Devone, about we're going to wait for the audit to come in and show all of that. But we do have some projections. Expected revenue change, average revenue for fiscal year 2019 was $249.67. Every time the pager goes off, it's $249.67. The downside of that, every time it goes off, it cost us $686 to respond to. You know, that's where the Medicaid offset and all of that money comes in. So out of 796 calls multiplied by that figure, we're looking at $198,000 of revenue that we're not going to be able to collect. That's a pretty big hit. That is a huge hit for us. But is it because we're making our community better? With this software, that's what we're hoping to prove or figure out what we need to do to make it better. So how can we adapt? By using the data-driven information given in this report, we can become a flexible system without reducing our coverage or increasing our response times. This data can help remain fiscally responsible with taxpayer dollars. Bertie County Emergency Services has a plan, what we call a hybrid system. A hybrid system layout. Bertie County will operate 3 advanced life support ambulances. We talked about 4 on the previous slide. One located in Windsor, one located in Allander, one located in Coleraine. Our additional staffing will go to a paramedic QRV in Windsor. The only difference in that vehicle that we have in the fleet already is that it can't transport patients, but it's the same level of care that we're sending on an ambulance. We'd also like the staff to provide a 12-hour peak loader truck based on the data we were given on when our peak times are, the high volume days, and we would fill that with part-time and limited overtime employees. This plan meets the expectations of care. When Bertie County started emergency services, the Board of Commissioners stated they wanted that every emergency call to receive a paramedic level assessment. With this hybrid plan, we can still meet that goal. Doesn't look any different on the map, it's just one vehicle that doesn't do transport. So still 4 certified paramedics, and 2 years ago we started down a path becoming a dual medic system because we're so rural and times are what they are. And as young as our system is, we decided in a dual medic system. So we have some trucks riding with two paramedics. So it's becoming a great training opportunity for new paramedics to come into Berks County. Our estimated savings. By doing this plan, savings from one truck to a QRV were $227,000. That's because with our staffing shortage to run that fourth truck, we were in a lot of overtime. The cost to run the peak load truck was right under $66,000 with an estimated savings of $161,000 by going to this hybrid system to help recoup some of the loss and still maintaining full responsibility.
That's serious. Okay, good.
So we haven't cut down on our quality of care. We haven't cut down on, we haven't added to our response times. We haven't cut down on paramedic level service. The pros and cons, just as we talked about, it still provides four certified resources at the paramedic level, and it reduces the amount of excessive overtime. Our staff has built-in overtime, but we have staff that are pushing on up there in 80, 90, 100 hours easy. I mean, we're a 24-hour operation. The cons, it reduces the system by one EMS transport vehicle. That could increase transport time. We say could. We've reduced almost by 800 calls. So when we start running our calls and start moving our equipment around because of our staging policy, we don't think we're going to see a major increase in it. We think it's going to pretty much stay status quo. Proactive planning. With the staffing shortage, this plan can be accomplished easily. We're short four staffers right now. So if you take a truck off the road, that doesn't change anything for any full-time staff in Berks County. In 6 months, we want to return to the commissioners with an update on how the system is operating. And we will monitor internally every month. At any time that we see the system is approaching overload, we can revert back to the four-truck system and reevaluate.
So basically, with altering the system, we're just about making up the loss that you're talking about, within the $28,000 to $30,000. That's a win-win.
Yep. So that's why we're looking at the hybrid system. Because we have the software, because we're updating our equipment, we're able to do just as much or more with less. You know, when I started in Lewiston, when we run a cardiac arrest, we do it with three people. Now, it's do it with 10 to 15, sometimes 20 if you can get them there to rotate them through. I don't have 15 to 20 people every day. But I got a machine, and I got two highly qualified people that can take care of the drugs, the electrical therapy, and, you know, and get it to where when somebody else can show up, because, you know, we have captains, we have Crystal as our chief, and we have myself as the director with the equipment to go and assist them. But it's 691 square miles. So we're still meeting our response times. We're still getting a paramedic to every call. The only thing that we may see change is from the time an actual transport vehicle gets there. But if a paramedic shows up on a QRV and does everything they're supposed to, if the next truck in is 15 minutes from the actual, you know, time, you'll never tell the difference. It's all just gears on the clock. We just got to watch our turn.
When are you looking to turn this system into that hybrid system you're talking about?
January 1.
January 1.
We have days now that we can't staff all the trucks. We're running what we need to run. And what we do is we run the three trucks to QRV. And then that day I make sure I don't have no meetings and Crystal don't have no meetings. If we got to staff up, we can staff up. But January 1 is our target date because, you know, we're already, we can do a schedule for a year in advance. And we got some folks that have holidays that haven't had them off in a few years. We want to make sure they still get those days. And then January 1, revert. So we've already kind of started the hybrid system. Days that we are staffed and in overtime, we're reverting back to the three-truck system.
I think the key thing is we're down by 700 calls. Basically, and you're going to be able to pull this thing off and make it work where citizens aren't going to suffer as far as service goes.
Citizen you won't even know it, and you won't even see it. You'll still be getting the same level of care, the same response, the same times. It's just that one vehicle that's got the bed in the back of it. Instead of it being two in Windsor, it'll be one, and we'll be depending on the other two to operate when we need them to come and help, you know. And with our staging policy the way it is, if a call goes out in Coleraine, we've got a truck sitting at White's Cross. And I don't know that everybody knows that.
Yep.
We don't depend on a truck to leave Windsor to drive all the way to Coleraine. I don't know who's in here for Coleraine, I don't mean any offense, but if you leave Roxburgh, there's no good way to get to Coleraine.
Nope, there isn't.
So, you know, we took all that into account, and me being from Bertie and born and raised here, we knew that was going to be a challenge. So you will see trucks just sitting at certain parts of the county, and their job is to cover the gap. So, plus by doing this, we think that we're going to push some of our help to the transport side. It's going to help us with our staffing on that side. As we mentioned the other day in our email, we run a cardiac arrest. I had an employee get injured. I had to request two additional trucks. This was all done over the radio. 2 seconds after I dropped the radio, I picked up the phone. I called our transport phone. I said, I need a truck ready to go. I need you to listen to the radio. The next call is yours. And when I hear it come out, I'm going to send you a note. No questions asked. We went from four trucks, a QRV, to five trucks. I mean, we have a very unique system. We're able to flex where we need to and take care of the citizens of this county. And I'm very proud of that.
That's excellent.
But how will the hybrid system affect our expansion opportunities outside of our existing service area? Are you looking at that as a separately sustaining kind of piece?
This won't affect our transport. It's just a hybrid system, just strictly EMS. And we're looking at expanding our transport system and having conversations, you know, with other counties about expanding into this county.
Right. But you're looking at that expansion piece as a separately funded kind of piece,
right,
being able to hold this on.
Right.
Right. Well, that's the great thing about having non-emergency transport. When we pull one of those vehicles into the 911 game, when it's need to be pulled in. So,
great training. Yeah, great. Great training. Platform.
Absolutely.
I mean, we not bragging, but because of y'all's support, when we go to trainings, we're sitting up there as Bertie County, number five pours, large rural. We walk in the room, and other counties are sitting in there, and they're like, yeah, I can get four or five ambulances. And they turn around and look at Bertie, and they say, how many ambulances can you get on the road right now? How many staff members do you have? And I look out and say, I can get 10 trucks on the road right now. And a guy look at Bertie County can do what? We can put 10 trucks on the road right now. If something was to happen, we prepare for that active shooter like we did a couple months ago. When we look at these disasters and we look at the caliber of what we're doing with our staff, we've come a long ways.
Mitch, I would just say to the citizens who are here, if you want to know what kind of job they're really doing, just talk to the physicians in the emergency room here in Bertie County. They'll tell you that we're saving lives. When patients show up there now, they're in such better shape than they've ever been, and it makes their job an awful lot easier. I mean, you see the kind of letters we get from people. It's incredible. You guys are doing a wonderful job.
Absolutely. Can't be any more proud. I've got to ask you a question, though, because all these commissioners are curious. How you like your new EMS station?
Well, as you can see, our shoot time's down and our response time's down. We love it. It feels like they're home. You can definitely tell the morale's changed in the I don't want to say staff, I'm gonna say the crew. It's nothing like pulling up now. The back bay door will be open, the chairs will be in the bay, and they'll all be sitting in a circle and either telling good war stories or they're talking about a call that went on and they're becoming a family.
And that's great therapy.
Yeah.
That is great therapy. Congratulations. Doing a heck of a job, and so is your staff. I mean, the unsung heroes, and Bertie proud day. That's all there is to it.
Thank you for your time.
For the information for the audience, our EMS station got flooded there in Matthew and Julia. So, thanks to Governor Cooper's office and the Commerce office, they gave us money for our new EMS station. So, yay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Okay. Going on to board appointments. Jury Commission, Mr. Vernon Lee is up for jury commission duty.
Move to approve.
I have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Consent agenda. Please take note that the closed session minutes for October 7, 2019 are not in the package. They will be in your package next month. Okay. And so I'm going to go through the list here. Approved minutes for the work session of October 7, 2019. Approved minutes for regular session October 7, 2019. Approved minutes for joint meeting October 14, 2019. Registered deed fees report October 2019. Everybody has read the budget amendments and the tax release journal 2019. Can I have a motion, please?
I make a motion we approve items, consent items 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, fantastic. All right, property acquisition transfer related to Cash Eye Golf and Country Club. Mr. Huddleston, you got any information to advise these commissioners on that?
Yes, sir. I'll only point out, I think Commissioner Lee said, did I understand correctly? She said 1 through 7 was just
1, 2, 4, 5.
Yeah, she skipped the 1.
And she's getting number 8
too. Well, that's what I want you to talk about. Number 8.
Number 9.
I'm sorry, I've got property acquisition transfer related to Cash A Golf Club, number 8 on my paperwork.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I've been marking up a previous version of the agenda. Yeah. I probably haven't.
Okay. Well, it's number 8 on my paperwork. So, yeah, go ahead. 8, 9, if you can just give us some updates on that.
I got it. Okay, number 9 is, that's an exchange between the county and the Cash Eye Golf Country Club. Basically that exchange has already been advertised and approved by prior resolution.
Okay.
The reason that is in this packet is because there was a slight change in the terms, and so it had to be re-advertised. I can get into more detail about the terms, or
we covered all that in the work session. Just wanted to give a brief update, and that was it. So the rest of commissioners know, so we're going to re-advertise.
Yes, it was a re-advertising.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm sorry.
It makes me want to look at it. Sorry, all those poor papers.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hobson.
Yes, sir.
All right. Approval request for Library Corp extension project modification, Golden Leaf Foundation grant agreement, deadline June 20th. Mr. Vaughn.
Yes, it's basically a formality. The Golden Leaf Foundation, the original grant agreement deadline was June 30th, 2020, but it has to align with the construction schedule. The construction schedule was to be completed by September 2020, but as the architect just mentioned, that date now is October 20th, 2020.
Do we need to update Golden Leaf on that
Absolutely.
Extension date? Okay.
Yes.
All right. You'll be handling all that, I assume, correct,
yes,
sir? All right. Thank you. All right. Other items, discussion agenda. Final review and approval of 2020 meeting schedule for the Board of Commissioners. Everybody's had a chance to review it. Has anybody got any problems with that?
Which one is for final review?
Yeah, final review.
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Problem 1. You meet twice a month. For what reason? I thought the second meeting would be a work session as needed. I'm really not comfortable meeting just to be meeting. I like to have something to talk about when I go to the meetings.
Okay.
It was a purpose why we went to a work session, because we were able to get more done.
Okay. Anybody have any other discussion on that?
Originally, I was against us going to one meeting a month, but it has worked out really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work on the staff to prepare the agenda and do the minutes and all that good stuff. So if we, I don't see the need.
Now, okay, I don't have an issue either way, to be honest with you. This was put together. I don't make a difference to me.
I'm in agreement with Commissioner Bazemore, because that second meeting, as it's a true work session, it's still mm-hmm. an open meeting to the public.
Mm-hmm.
It can still encompass anything else that we might need to do in the regular schedule, right?
Okay.
But At the same time, I don't want to give up taking the meetings on the road to the public. So make sure that we can somehow mix that in, because that's how we get the best attendance, right? When we take them on the road to the public. I still like that piece. So I don't want to lose that.
It depends on what area we're in. That's who comes.
But we've had better turnout on the road than we have any place else. I mean, I think it's a great gesture that we take the meetings to the public so a lot of people can't get here. You know, that's my... I think it's worked out well for us over the years. We can still do both.
Well, let me ask a question. We're going to a 10 o'clock meeting also in the morning time. Could that be the work session, if that's what we're going to do?
Right. Yeah.
Why not? I think that kills two birds with one stone and goes from there. Is everybody in agreement on that? So the 10 a.m. be a work session?
As needed.
Okay. Mr. Vaughn? And then we go with the on the road meetings at 6 o'clock then.
Okay.
So is that what everybody's...
In this proposed schedule, there are some work sessions already designated.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to do away with those.
They were reworked into the other sessions as far as work sessions we just discussed at 10 a.m.
But our question was as needed, right?
So as needed.
Yeah, as needed.
As needed.
So.
Well, there's already work sessions up there.
Uh-huh. Right.
And then you're going to take, and there's a 10 o'clock meeting every month.
Well, I just believe that
work session.
We're going to use that as a work
as
session.
Needed, still.
Exactly.
You know, so you just ignore store work session. Because I'm trying to figure out how you know in advance that you need a work session that we haven't discussed.
I think the thing is confusing. Tammy said, if we keep the on-the-road sessions, keep them, the 10 o'clock meetings, in essence, we're going to do away with them, but we're going to put them in as needed, right? So they wouldn't be just on the schedule. We'd put them in advance, knowing that if we need a work session, we'd put it in. So you still have the one basic meeting a month, and the other ones are call meetings as needed, work sessions. I think that's the idea. Can I get it?
We'll make the updates based on your discussion and have another schedule for you to
okay. And then we'll go
take another look.
And then we'll go over the third time, right? Okay. All right. That's fair enough. Then we'll go over the third time to make a final decision, okay? So, anyhow. All right, review and approval of contract service agreement for special projects consultation with Scott T. Sauer. Mr. Vaughn?
I think I was going to refer to Attorney Hodelston. He made some comments about the lease. There were some concerns that he had, so I'll give him a moment to address any of them.
Yeah, sure. We're on D2, right? I'm just kidding.
No, we're not. Maybe on your paper, but not mine.
Yeah, we got it. Just a joke.
I know.
Yes, sir. That's a lease that the county commissioners, as you know, had considered a couple of options with that property. This is one of the options, and the commissioners had asked this entity, Cross Coalition Limited Doing Business, as Carolina Rebuilding Ministry, North Carolina nonprofit. The commissioners had asked them to give a proposed lease. So I've read through it, and I have I sent Scott and Juan an email that had just a number of suggestions. I think if the commissioners are going to consider entering into this lease, there are a number of changes that need to be made to the lease agreement. So I can hit the highlights of that. I can go into as much detail as you want to, or we can get to a point where you can instruct me to make the changes, to create a new draft, and have that come back in front of the board.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
If I might, mm-hmm. Since we as commissioners have had a chance to see this,
mm-hmm.
my suggestion would be, Jonathan, if you could have discussions with the coalition and about these changes. I think most of those are pretty clear cut, right?
Yes.
And then after that discussion, then bring that back to the board. You know, you're representing the interests of the board. They will be looking at their interest. Bring the ones that, if there's anything still at question, if you would, or settlement back to the board, and we can go from there. Because most of these things, I think, can be settled real quickly between you direct and Carolina Coalition.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Would you?
I agree. There are three things that I think I would like to get a little clarification from the board on.
Right.
Some of the basic, as you know, every lease, identify the parties, you identify the property, you identify the main thing is the term of the lease, and then some of the basic terms like insurance and that sort of thing. So I just wanted to hit just a few things real quick. First of all, the parties we know, we're good there. The legal description, what they've used and what they sent the county is just like an aerial photograph, and they just have, part of the property, there's two buildings on a larger tract, as we know, because there's a storage building, used to be an old gym, there's like a little field with a parking area. The main area that my understanding is that we're considering to lease is the main DSS building, which we all know what the main DSS building is, and then one right next to it that's on the adjacent, sort of facing the adjacent street, not the gym. Okay. So fortunately, the way this old subdivision is laid out, where it was laid out back in like the 1930s, there's little lots that make up this piece of property. And so out of about nine lots that this whole tract is made up of, there's only, let's say, about five lots that make up the portion where these two buildings are located. So first of all, I wanted to get guidance. Am I correct in understanding that you only want to lease the lots on which these two buildings sit and not the rest of it?
Correct.
That is correct. With the allotment for some parking.
With some parking allotment, right, exactly. I
thought your suggestion about how we would do that would be perfect.
Okay.
Exactly. Right.
Great. Second thing which maybe I need a little more guidance on is the length of the lease. It's 15 years.
180 months is what it said, exactly.
Initially.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. And then with automatic extensions of 10 years, 10 years, 10 years, extending out for potentially 95 years. Mm-hmm. By my count. So my question is, so that's a pretty fundamental term. Do the commissioners want to entertain a 95-year lease, or do you want to shorten it somewhat with a period after 20 years? 15,
well, we could say for the 15 years, 180 months, and then go into discussion on extension of the next 10 years, I think is what the intent is anyhow.
Yeah.
I don't know if it makes a lot of difference, quite frankly, because each party has the right to terminate any time they want.
Any time.
So what does it matter?
Well,
we need to shorten. I think we need to shorten the terms. Mm-hmm. 90
yes.
years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of us may be here, but I seriously doubt it. I think we need to bring it in a little bit.
Well, I mean, that is a number of boards versions of this board of commissioners that would come and go, they're all bound by a 95-year lease. But I read the lease to say that unless, I mean, it gives all the rights of termination to them. There's not a clear right of termination by the county the way it's written right now that it would allow the county to terminate unless they're in violation for some reason.
All right, let me ask you a question. Up to the 180
that's
months.
That's the way I read it.
Okay, that's how I read it, too. Up to the 180 months, 15 years,
mm-hmm.
Okay? They have a right, they can terminate with a proper notice, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And understand them trying to protect their investment. And if we turn around and kept it to the 15 years with discussion to extend, have that verbiage put in there further than the 15 years, is the board comfortable with that?
I'm sorry.
I'm comfortable with it. I think that should be some negotiation between the board and the organization to see if they're comfortable with it. I mean, I think it should be both parties, satisfied both parties. So I'm satisfied with Jonathan taking that to them.
Well, we turn around and say that, and we put it in writing, then that's when he take it to them and let them, counter or do whatever, then he can get back with us and let us know what the final statement is and what we're doing.
Right.
See, if you're extending them out this long, unless they're just offering them a shorter term. Not even committing themselves. I'm like you.
Right. Now, I recognize their desire to want to get a return on their investment because they are going to fix it up.
A lot of money.
Their expense.
Half a million dollars.
At one point on that, I wanted to mention. But they'll be fixing up at their expense, and they obviously, a five-year lease is not enough. I mean,
well, that's the reason I think the 180 months is.
15. Yeah, I mean, I talked to Lloyd about it. We spoke about this before I came over, and he shared our concern about thinking having it that long, 95, you know, the full, all the full extensions, and the and 15 or 20 years, you know, I can certainly understand them wanting to get a return on that investment. But beyond that, there are, you know, our advice is there should be a concern about binding the property beyond that point, and without some out by the county to be able to stop it.
I think that makes sense, gentlemen. But I want the board to know that the investment we're talking about here may be as much as $500,000. So we really need to give the organization an opportunity to have that return on investment if they expect them to put that kind of money into this place. And this place helps this county in a big way.
And again,
the county gets to use this building
anytime
they want to.
Hopefully we will never need it.
Well, but hopefully we won't.
It
but
would
if
be
we
nice
ever,
to have it.
That's right.
Emergencies still do hit. We know that. So let's just keep that in our mind.
The fact that a couple things popped in my head, that they, under this proposed lease, they can assign this to anybody they want to, anytime they want to. I felt like that's a concern for me. Lloyd shares the same concern.
Yeah.
When I go back with the redraft, I'm gonna say that it can only be assigned with the consent in writing by the county.
Okay.
I think that's pretty standard.
Yeah.
Because you don't want a year from now, for however many more years, you don't want to be dealing with a totally new partner that you didn't think you were going to have to deal with.
Okay.
The terms, in fixing it up, they use the term upfit on the first building, refurbish on the second, and they have to keep it in good order and repair throughout the entire lease. Do you want me to get any more detail on what upfit means or refurbish means? I mean, the longer the lease, the more we recommend you get detail. The shorter, the less important it is. So you want me to come up with some thoughts on that and recommend it? Because I recommend a little more detail.
I think that's something that can be worked out between the two parties.
Right.
I
do too.
Okay.
Right. But let me say something about the other piece. And I think you're right. I don't think perhaps we do want to bind the county to another party. But understand that if this organization could bring in other similar kind of work to be done, or an associate kind of nonprofit to help out in related to this,
mm-hmm.
we would still get a chance to approve it. That could be a real nice piece.
Yeah, the county could.
So we don't want to limit that. Right?
But that's not unlimiting them. That's putting it back.
That's the part. We still get to approve
it. We still have
a
right to say.
We need a say in who goes into that building.
So,
yes.
No problem.
Last thought is on insurance. The longer the lease, the more like a purchase it is. And it's understandable on a shorter-term lease, commercial lease, that the owner, which would be us, insures the premises. The tree falls on it. The longer the lease, the more we turn that responsibility over to the tenant. Do you want in this draft to turn that more over to the tenant, or do you want to keep the responsibility? You know, like, for instance, sometimes you do a triple net lease where you basically put all responsibility on the tenant, like the obligation to pay for the insurance premiums, the obligation to pay for utilities tax, you know, there's no taxes, but maintenance, everything.
Well, they're going to be paying for all the utilities already.
They need to pay for insurance.
Well, they're definitely paying for utilities. And again, they're paying for
upfits,
maintenance. I'm recommending that they also have liability insurance, even if the county's covered. I want them to that's pretty standard.
And we'd be named as added insurer.
Added insurer.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. So the question is, what about the my question though is the building insurer,
I think that's something that could be negotiated, because we still own the building. So, right. So we have some liability as well, but they're using the building, so they have some as well.
Yep.
So that should be something that I think you guys can negotiate, so it's fair to both parties.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I don't know. But I know that we want to protect our interests, and I think they should want to protect their interests as well.
Yeah, if they're making that big of an investment, I would think they would. Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
So you guys work it out.
Okay. Passing that along then.
Well, I know if any organization rents a building, you now have to have your own insurance to go into their building, even though they had. You have to have yours too.
Typically, that's on liability insurance.
Right?
Yeah, so that's the only thing they would have, the liability insurance.
They're definitely going to have insurance on their contents. That's written in here.
That's right.
And I was definitely going to ask if they have
liability
insurance. And then my understanding is that we'll talk about how the responsibility is shared for the casualty type insurance.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Yes, that's. I don't want to drag this out any longer. I could talk a lot longer if you wanted to, but I think a lot of these other terms are things that you've given me the instruction to work them out, so that's
what exactly. Work them out.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay. Number three, discuss dates, special elections, consider. Ms. Mullen?
Yes, there have been some discussion about having the special election with the quarter-cent sales tax being the only thing on the ballot. However, General Statute 163-287 provides some restrictions on when that election can take place. And it has to be at a time when all precincts are open. It has to be either at a primary, during a primary, or during another state or county general election. So with that said, the soonest we could have that on the ballot would be March 3rd, 2020, when the primary.
Okay, do we want to make a motion or we want to go ahead and do that?
Make a motion. Do we need a motion? I made the motion that we move to that to the first primary.
Okay, can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Do we have enough time? I thought I saw something.
Ms. Sheila?
Do we have enough time to put the election?
It just says you have to have the bus in 45 days.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Vaughn, is there a limit of how many times you can put this on a ballot?
I'm not 100% certain, but okay. I don't think so. It's something we can research, but
exactly.
My knowledge is not.
Chairperson.
Many times you are.
Hey, what do they say? Three's a lucky number. Three's a lucky number.
That's all.
Exactly. All right. Retired Scott, County Manager Scott, sour his contract.
Yes,
like
to
address it.
You all approved for us to contract with now retired County Manager Scott Sauer, and you have a contract for your review.
Okay.
I reviewed it. Y'all know me. It was a little open for me. It had the amount, a firm amount, month. But his hours of work is loose. When they decide, it may be done remotely. So he may not work 4 hours or a week. And it sounds like to me, according to this contract, he would still be paid $5,000. Mm-hmm. I think we need to tighten it up a little bit.
Okay. I'd have to say we did. And how many hours would you expect him since he's been working with you?
Hard to say.
I'd say at least 25, 30 hours a week.
It was 50% of the salary, wasn't it? So let's just say 50% of the time for 20 hours.
I'm going to say 25, but anyhow, that's 25 work.
Of course, he's not getting the same benefits he was getting.
No benefit.
None.
So
I still might be saying 20, 25 at least.
20, 25 hours?
Yeah, per week, yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, and I just think that he needs to share with you on a weekly or monthly basis those the hours that he's worked.
Yeah. Well, the time he's put into it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. In other words, give you a narrative of what's going on.
Right.
And then you can report to us as far as what's happening.
We'll do.
So let's be specific. We want to say 20 or 25? You want 25?
I'd like to see 25.
Y'all know how I
think.
Don't ask me
that. All right, you're good with 25. I'm good with 25. How about you? 25. You need a motion on that, or do you want, okay. Can I have a motion?
I make the motion that we include into retired county manager Sauer's contract a minimum of 25 hours per week, and that he report back how that time was being used.
And the ending price would stay the same? Yeah,
that's what the price was set on, 20 hours.
No, the money.
Yeah, the money was set on 20 hours. half of the salary. Half of 40. I know.
That's how we came up with it. Said it's report back.
That he reports back how that time was spent and what projects he worked on to the interim manager. He can report back to us.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a proper first and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Against? Okay.
Okay.
Well, I had to throw it out there. All right. And which number are we on? No, I'm teasing. We're where we're at now. Okay. Commissioner's report. We have three junior commissioners here tonight, and I'd like for each one to stand up and introduce themselves. Mr. Joyner.
I am your returning junior commissioner. I was sworn in as of literally almost a year ago. So I am Roger Joyner from Coleraine, North Carolina. Place of hills and swamps. Anyway, I look forward to serving the community to the best of my abilities. And I will always have my heart first with Bertie Down.
Fantastic. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. Last night, and I look forward to serving as your junior commissioner.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Alexis Parker. I'm a junior at Berkshire Area College, and I am the alternate junior commissioner.
Fantastic. All right, great. Good. Okay.
Commissioner.
I know, see it. Commissioner's report. Ms. Bird.
I knew you was going to do that.
That's the reason I did that. Ms. Bird.
First of all, I'd like to thank the junior commissioners for coming out. We asked you out tonight to observe, be prepared next month to be sworn in. And I need for you to write down the means of contact so I may contact you, because we need to go through a little training. So be prepared, and that way we'll both be on the same page. Okay?
Okay.
And you'll be sworn in at our next meeting, December 4th, 6 o'clock. Okay. Any questions? So how did you like the meeting tonight?
Newbies. Ms. Baseball, is that all you got? Is that all you got?
No. We have a lot going on. And I apologize, because I will be missing our county parade, but my heart will be with you. I will be at a work session in Pinehurst with the Trillium Board. So I do want to apologize for that.
Okay. You good?
Okay.
You sure? Okay. All right. Ms. Lee?
Tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, Hinesville will have their second food pantry. So if you know anybody that could use some extra food in the house, send them out there. If you want to come help us, we'll get there about 10 o'clock. There's always joy in serving others. So we had a great time last month. So I mean, I'm excited about being there, even though we might be in the rain. And if you did not go to Trunk or Treat at Bertie High School that the cadets sponsored, our DPS cadets, you missed a treat. It was, Gene can tell you, it was a huge crowd out there, and all those children dressed up. I never liked Halloween when my children were coming up. I took them trick-or-treating, but I didn't enjoy it. But seeing all those children out there last night, our Halloween was such a treat, and just, I had a blast, and got to see a lot of my former prison folks that I worked with, so that was always good. So you missed a treat if you missed it. I attended Denim's to Diamonds fundraiser. the crowd does a great job with that fundraiser and then goes to buy the hospital. So that was a great event. And I too will miss our employee luncheon for the first time since I've been elected. I really hate it, but I will be at a board of directors meeting, and we, for our association, and we're actually meeting in Washington, D.C., so I really hate that I'm going to be missing it this year, but I have plans. I'll get with Mr. Bonk about my plans. So thank you. The room looks great. Mr. Anthony, you did a great job. Great job. Mr. Anthony works really hard for this county, so thank you so much.
Well, actually, thanks to the help of the commissioners for the ideas and who they would get together to kind of match.
He had me and Logan was trying to find flooring, and I guess he had already picked this floor out when I was in
Moses.
But anyways,
Mr. Atkins.
Mr. Vaughn, I was almost late for you swearing in, but I meant no disrespect, but your father caught me coming through the door, and he's a good friend of mine. I couldn't get away from him. For those of you that don't know, he's got a health problem that made him uncomfortable about coming in tonight, but he was here. He was in the, at the building, and that's why I was late.
Yeah, right.
It was good to see you.
Mr. Wesson?
Yeah, first is just a comment again about the new digs. Hope everybody really loves it. You know, I'm really proud of it, and I'm proud of the way that we did it. You know, we first made sure that we took care of the larger property, the courthouse, county building, make sure that the sheriff was in a good place, make sure that the extension was in a good place before we tackled this. But, you know, this is your place. You know, and I hope you're proud of the work that was done. I remember when we went down to Bert T. Beach and the opening of Bert T. Beach, the young man said, "Oh, Commissioner Wesson, thanks for letting me in, come here to your beach." And I said, "No, son, this is yours. This is your beach. This is your property. Your parents paid for this. So you just make sure that you take care of it." Same thing I'd say about this. This belongs to all of you. And hope that you enjoyed. Any ideas you got for the space or anything else, let us know. One other thing, I'll be quick. You know, I'm now trustee in the Bert T. Martin Community College. And one of the pledges I made when I took the job was that we're going to try to bring more classes here to Bert T., to the satellite place. And I'm proud to report that now, if you're working toward an associate degree, more of those required classes will be able to be taken here in person, not just online, at the community college. And we're still working to the other part of what I wanted, is to bring more of the trade kinds of job, specific job-related programs here. We're a little bit limited into the work of the building, right? But we're working on something else that might give us a space that we can do even more of that. So you'll hear more about that. Thank you.
Okay. County Manager's Report.
Yes. At this time, I'd like to introduce our new Human Resources and Risk Management Director, Ms. Courtney Ward, if you please stand. Courtney is currently a resident of Edenton, so she knows that along with her employment with Bert T. County as a department head, she'll also become a Bert T. citizen.
Taxpayer.
So, Courtney comes highly recommended from Washington Regional Medical Center. So, just want to say welcome, Courtney. We're excited to have you on our team.
Fantastic. Mr. Attorney, you have any reports for us?
Yes, sir, I do. As the agenda states, I need to report on the status of notification to property owners for road safety and maintenance ordinance violations. I have gotten the answers to the questions that you had at the last meeting last week. First of all, there were, as you recall, there were two notices sent. One to a local road owner, Mr. Ted Ken Cherry Sr. He has been served. A copy of the ordinance was included with both sets of letters, so they had all, and the letter had some instruction on what to do, and also then the full ordinance was enclosed, so they can have all the different deadlines. There was a couple of the two deadlines I think that were relevant to what we discussed the other day. First one is the 10 days for appeal that you mentioned.
Yep.
Trent, so he was served on October 17th so, by sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
If you add 10 days to that, so October 27th was his deadline to appeal. And then 45 days after he was served is the deadline to fix. So that's December 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So still within the time frame for fixing the violating road. And that road is definitely in violation of the ordinance. The other person had a Bryson City, North Carolina address, David Thomas. He's not been served yet. Cliff is working on getting him served, puts him up in our office. So apparently Mr. Thomas has an address in North Carolina and one in Florida. So Cliff's working with a private process server or whatever it takes to get service on that road owner. That has not yet been served. I think that is the extent of my update on that.
Okay. All right, public comments?
Good evening, everyone.
Please come up to the podium, Mr. Freeman.
Only take a minute. Thank you. My name is Mike Freeman, Chairman of the Burton County Board of Elections. I'm here to remind you, tomorrow is election day for all the municipalities in Burton County, which is 8 of them. Exercise your vote.
Amen.
Amen.
I thought I walked into the Supreme Court.
We did a good job, didn't we?
Great job.
Thank you. All right. Any other public comments? There's no other public comments. I need a motion before we go in closed session.
So moved.
May I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And they'd be under General Statute 143-318. Attorney client firm.
Thank y'all for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Junior Commissioners, don't forget to leave me your contact information.
Let's put it on the back.